Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today CIO Podcast. I'm John Lin, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today, and I'm excited to bring you the most practical healthcare CIO insights and perspectives. We know your job is challenging. We want to help you be more successful. And our guest today is Donald McGruder. He's Chief Information and Revenue Integrity Officer at South Shore Hospital.
That's a mouthful. Yes, it is.
You got a lot of work. Welcome, Donald.
Thank you. Thank you, John, for having me.
Good to have you back. You know, we've had some conversations before, but I think today we're going to be doing a little different. I think last time was all revenue stuff. Yes. Today we're talking more interoperability. But before we go there, tell us about yourself and South Shore Hospital.
Okay, again, my name is Donald McGruder. I'm the Chief Information and Revenue Integrity Officer. South Shore Hospital, we're kind of a community hospital on the south side of Chicago, just a mile from the lake. We're a small hospital, but the community really appreciates what we're doing. And we have a good, strong community population that comes to visit the hospital. They don't want to go to the other bigger hospitals. They like having a hospital in the neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to us, you know, about interoperability and how are you positioning your hospital, you know, to be able to manage this kind of quickly evolving interoperability landscape?
So it's becoming so important. Like I said, our patients want to come to our hospital, but we may not have all of the services that some of the bigger hospitals have. So we develop partnerships with other hospitals that may have some of this more the other services that we don't offer. And so where interoperability plays a role is that our patients can come to our hospital and then be able to, say, be referred to a larger institution that has a service that they're looking for, but still be our patient. And so that way, you know, we can share information back and forth between the other institutions, and they can still have we can have all of their information. If they go to, say, another hospital down the street or academic institution, we can, you know, bring up that information on our system. And that's why it's so important that we strengthen and ensure we have interoperability between our hospitals.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it provides a really good continuity of care.
Absolutely.
That way, if you didn't do that, then it wouldn't feel like you're
absolutely
hospital, yeah. Right?
And it population health, and you said like this care continuum, just being able to have those services and have access to that patient information is critical.
Interesting. And how about when it comes to like the strategies and operations you do? How is interoperability influencing how you're doing that?
So we have to find partners who operate in the interoperability space, to be able to ensure that they can work with us and that they are compatible with the other systems. So that's important. When we're looking for a partner, we looked at several, and some offer kind of the similar offerings. But when we find which works best for us, from a capability perspective, but also financially, economically, what works for us, then we want to make sure we get a partner who's able to kind of play in this space with other institutions and also be, we're a smaller hospital. We're not resource rich. So we have to be able to have those finance partners who can work with us and be creative in how we finance it. And so among the things that's very important to us.
Interesting. And, you know, you guys decided to work with Secure Exchange Solutions, someone we've had on the program quite a bit for your clinical exchange services. What drove that decision, and what were some of the specific challenges that you were looking to address with them?
So, quite frankly, we've had a long relationship with SES, Secure Exchange Solutions.
Yeah.
And I want to say that even when we first started down this interoperability journey, you know, there weren't a lot of players in it. SES was one of them that really was compatible to what we had.
Sure.
And was able to kind of help us kind of navigate that path. Like I said, a lot of it is, you know, what they do, what they offer from the platform, but also economically. You know, it does not. And so they were very creative in helping us finance the technology. And so we just kind of, even recently, we ran into the hospital some challenges. And so they were able to really help us out as far as financing, economically, making it viable for us. That's what's important and what, why, you know, we've kind of enjoyed this relationship and partnership with Secure Exchange.
It's awesome that they're collaborating with you. I think that's what most people say.
Yeah.
They need to be collaborators and true partners.
Yeah.
And how about some of the top use cases at South Shore? You know, how are you using SES to help you achieve your operational, your clinical objectives? It's great that you're on both sides of that.
Right? Yeah, so I think, as I mentioned, you know, we're kind of, our hospital, along with other hospitals in the area, have joined a collaborative with other institutions, some bigger academic institutions. And so what's been helpful for us is that, again, now our patients can refer our patients, and then that academic institution would have our patient information at a glance, and then we would have, when they see the patient, we can get that information back. So just again, like the continuity care, those continuity care documents that the Security Exchange helped us kind of develop, work with our EMR, work with our integration tools and platforms to be able to provide and we're in the throes of it, so we haven't completed all yet, but sure. So far it's been a seamless type of, without a lot of bumps. It's been very kind of smooth as far as developing that relationship and being able to work with the other partners and other providers to be able to share that type of information. So SES has really been good at helping us, because they know the players already. So they've been really good at helping us navigate that path to get to this interoperability and the connectivity with and sharing data with the other partners.
Interesting. Tell us a little bit more about this. I like that there's a collaboration that, on the south side of Chicago with all these organizations. Describe more of the program. What's your role in it, and what kind of outcomes are you looking to achieve?
So at the highest level, it was a program that, as a group of a couple of academic facilities, one of our largest providers in this state, and then several safety net hospitals,
sure.
So community hospitals, smaller hospitals, and dozens of FQHCs and other clinics and other partners.
Makes sense.
We've all come together. We were able to achieve some funding. This is Southside Health Care Consortium.
Awesome.
And so in that, this funding has allowed us to build and this infrastructure so that basically you have a population health platform where, again, if I go to one hospital, if we go to, say, at my hospital, and then we don't have a service that they need, or for instance, is maternity. We don't have maternity.
Okay.
So if we get a patient coming to ED, or a patient that has been a long-time patient of ours who needs maternity or obstetric services, we can send them to one of our partnering hospitals, and then perhaps maybe they need more critical care, then they may end up at the academic facility, at the academic hospital, because they need more critical care. That combination, all that data and all that clinical care has taken place, is going to be accessible to all of the players in the consortium, in the collaboration. And so that's what is important. And again, that's where SES is playing that role in there. So that's what's important. And then ideally, it's just supposed to bring better health outcomes. In the hospital, in the area that our hospital serves, the community we serve, we know that we have, it's the health disparities. That we don't have the services. We don't have the specialties in a lot of ways. So by being able to have these relationships with other larger facilities that may not be necessarily in our area or in our population, that gives our patients and communities access to healthcare that they would not normally have in their community. And that's what's important. That's why we felt this was just an exceptional opportunity and it's being driven by state funding. So we're pleased about that.
Interesting. Do you have any patient stories you could share? I mean, you kind of gave the maternity one.
That's kind of the one. We have, in addition, we also have, like, for instance, I can give you, we're adding in the throes of this. So we haven't, sure. I can't say it's completed yet, but it's at least our hospital, we're looking at kind of leveraging. We have a mental health unit.
Okay.
And so we're looking to leverage, and not other hospitals do. So we know, behavior health and mental health care is a desert in our communities, even in the communities that are served by the other hospitals in their populations. And so by having that accessible, we're hoping to be able to, a hospital, someone who live may not necessarily in our community, but their local hospital doesn't offer that kind of behavioral health services. We want to be able to bring, and even an outpatient level too, an outpatient perspective. Uh-huh. So we not only on inpatient, but we have outpatient clinics that service for behavioral health needs. So
we'll
be able to bring those patients over to our side who may not normally have them. So that's what we're particularly interested in being able to serve that population.
Wow, that's awesome. So as you look forward, what do you see as kind of the next steps for South Shore, especially when it comes to interoperability and patient care, even beyond this collaborative?
So we've been, right now we're at the HIMSS conference.
Yep.
And so I have been looking in particular in interoperability. Mm-hmm. And so, and SES being our partner, that names, I'm always asked that question of who's your partner as far as that, and the SES comes up. So what we're looking to do is to be able to work more so with some of our other community resources.
Okay.
You know, I think we have a great opportunity in as far as the actual the hospital providers and the clinics, but there are other providers who may not necessarily be in a traditional clinic, but they offer really important services. And so we're hoping that in operability space that we'll be able to share information and patient information that's going to be, you know, kind of important to for other types of caregivers to be able to provide the appropriate level of services. So that's our hope. You know, it's definitely in some ways ambitious, but I know it's achievable. But we're excited to be able to kind of, as we kind of go through this journey of not only interoperability, but just patient care and being able to provide the care that we will definitely need in our communities and that we serve. I definitely am looking forward and excited about, you know, having these partnerships such as SES and being able to expand and to grow and to be able to provide those services that are variously just been so sorely lacking in the communities that we serve.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, do you have a piece of advice for other CIOs like you or other interoperability people at you know, especially in the smaller organizations like yours that, you know, may think that interoperability is someone else's job can't do it? Like, what would you say to them as far as what they can do to improve interoperability and help their care delivery?
So kind of the approach I take is that, you know, sometimes it's a big thing to swallow, you know, interoperability. And then think of it not only just interoperability, but providing care that's needed to the population you serve. So for my advice is that you kind of got to sometimes you got to find partners who think outside the box, who are creative in the way their platforms, their technology, and even again how economically, because it sometimes seems to be out of reach for some. Because I've always thought that, you know, sometimes. Coming from, you know, we talked before, my experience, I've come from big systems with that's resource rich.
Mm-hmm.
But when you bring that down to a hospital that a system doesn't have kind of resources, you got to be really creative. So I think thinking outside the box, finding partners who are willing to be creative with you, to partner with you in that sense, I think is the best advice I could give, because it's not as easy as it sounds, but you do have to be kind of just work at it and make sure that you find those partners. I think you're going to be much more successful.
That's awesome. Well, Donald, we always like to wrap up the CIO podcast with a little bit of career discussion.
Sure.
And we need some advice from you. So what was the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
That's a great question. So
there's a lot of people giving advice, huh?
But I know this is good advice, but yet bad advice. So you know, it is. So sometimes the best advice I ever got. Now I know this might upset some folks.
That's all right.
But it is to go outside of your realm, even if you have to come back.
Mm.
So sometimes you're gonna learn more it's not just think outside the box. It's kind of experiencing other really things that you would never think you would. Other industries. That doesn't mean you leave where you are and go to another industry, but you really you go to other industry resources, other industry conventions. Like you're going to learn things about from banking or financial industry that you would never even thought of and apply it in your healthcare space.
Sure.
But it does, you learn more, you just become more well-rounded, and then you'll be able to bring more to the table. And like I said, a lot of this is about thinking creatively, thinking outside the box. That's kind of sometimes the only way you can do it is by doing something totally different. And so that's kind of, that was the advice I was given. They told me, you know what, Don, I went into consulting. That was the advice. I left where I was at a very big, one at the time, and still is the largest, one of the largest healthcare organizations in Illinois. My boss told me that. I left, went into consulting, came back, and was really, I don't think I would have been a CIO if I hadn't done that. So.
Wow. That's uncontroversial. That's good advice. I like that.
Right, folks, leave me. Oh, we gotta go.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I appreciate that. That's really good advice, Donald. I appreciate you taking part in the CIO podcast. And thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for the CIO podcast by Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcast applications. Thanks so much, Donald.
All right, John. Thanks again. Appreciate it.